You don't like it either?
Not as spicy.
I like the yam to the
a response in the Psalters. So, and then I just kind of did that little thing, that little canter part. So,
it's a very nice call to worship. Well, they don't sound terrible.
No. Well, I have to decide. I like it when people can hear themselves. And sometimes, you know, when we have instruments playing, they don't hear it as well.
Good morning. I'm Judy Lavach. Welcome to Sunday services. I just like to highlight a couple of items on the back page of our Sunday bulletin, and you'll find a lot of other upcoming events in the life of our church. Notably, many of them include food, like the ice cream social, and there's going to be a salad potluck on September 12th. Cookies in the narthex, so if you can help out with that, let people know. I do want to highlight today that there's a ministry fair going on in between services today. So if you're looking for something to do to help out in the church, this is an opportunity to find ways to engage in our church community as a volunteer. Please take time to stop and look at all the various information tables in the narthex. Now, please stand and greet each other with a handshake or an embrace.
Good morning, and let's go ahead and sing our congregational response. Sing this with a lot of spirit. This is our last day of doing this one. The summer's over now. It's time to put this on the shelf. So I need to hear lots and lots of robust rejoicing. Shall we sing? Here we go. And rejoice, 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 give thanks and sing. We come here today to worship the Lord, give thanks for the lives we live. We sing your praise as God Most High and bring honor to your name. Rejoice, 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 give thanks and sing. Creator God, you made our world and gave us the breath of life. We are your people, holy Lord. We serve you forevermore. Rejoice, 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 give thanks and sing.
You pray with me. Holy and gracious God, we thank you for bringing us here this morning to worship, to praise, to rejoice, and to know in a new way how your Holy Spirit works in our minds and moves into our hearts that we might be transformed people for your purpose in the world. We come with you to you seeking your grace and peace this day and evermore. And so we come to worship with great gladness, saying together, Amen. Will you stand as we sing together?
Thank you.
men, you may be seated. It's good to sing together. Thanks. And I'll invite the kids to come join me, please. You can get back to your Play-Doh creations in just a moment. So some of you have been in school for a couple days, right? Who's been in school so far? Jameson, what did you learn so far? You're learning science? Anyone else learn something new and exciting?
Yeah.
Anything new and exciting? Well, how are some of the ways that you do learn? Do you learn with books? Technology, okay, like computer and iPad, okay? Yeah. Reading, yep. How many of you watch movies to learn about something? Yeah. So I have this great book. This is Lydia's book, and it's about raccoons and cubs. And so we are learning all about raccoons at my house. What would be another way to learn about a raccoon? You don't want to go near a raccoon, okay? They're super tough. Okay, so we could learn that, Mac, by watching them, right? Did you see any raccoons at the zoo before? No, maybe on the street. So we can watch them. Would any of you want to have a raccoon for a pet?
If
it was tamed, yeah. You would definitely learn about a raccoon if you had it for a pet, right? You'd learn what it would. Wow, and he left? Yeah. What's interesting is that when we learn, yeah, this is.
He stayed to our house, and the night he gone.
He went away. Okay. So, Mac, I had an idea I wanted to share. Can I share it? Okay, so my idea is that when we are with animals or when we're with something, we learn about it even more than what we could learn in a book. So Mac, I'm gonna have you just listen for a second, okay? And then I'll get back to your story, all right? So when we are with, like, our pets, we could learn about dogs and cats and fish in books, right? But it's a whole lot more fun to learn about them when we're with them. We learn about our dogs and how they might be able to fetch, or what they like to eat, or when they like to sleep or not sleep. And so there's lots of ways that we learn. When you're at school and you're learning with technology or books or movies, that's all good. But I invite you this week to think about all the ways in which you learn by encountering. Just like Mac was talking about the kitty that he encountered and how cool that was, I want you to think about all the ways that you meet other animals or people and what you learn from them that you could never learn in a book. And that will be good for our brain, and it will also move from our brain to our heart. Yeah. Yeah. And you know what, Mac? You're showing me another way in which we learn, and that's by hearing people's stories. Yeah. He wasn't mean. He was a nice kitty, wasn't he?
He loved me so much and purred around.
And he loved you and purred. That's great. I think we can, we've learned a lot from Mac's story and from books and all of the animals that we encounter. So, as you learn, know that you can learn in lots of ways, and you can learn about God in all of those ways. So let's pray together. Let's hold our hands and repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for animals and stories and all the ways that we learn from you. Thank you for giving us voices. to share about your love. May we take that and share it with others. Amen. Thanks, guys. You can head back to the playground. Well, for some of us, there's great joy in being near kitties. So I want to just extend this time that we can share the other joys, Thanksgivings, and also those tender places on our hearts with our prayers as we share them with a community. So what are the things that you would like to share with each other today? I'd like to make note of a couple things. Dale Mattson passed away about a week ago, and so his services will be this Wednesday at 1:30 here at Mountain View. So Dale Mattson, keep the Mattson family in your prayers, including Joanne, his wife. Others that you would lift up. Yes, we have two hipster girls. Kitty Lewis and Paula Pratt both fell and broke their hips. So we're asking that you just, yeah, keep them in your prayers. And also, if you want to go visit, they'll be in rehab. They both are in really good spirits, all things considered, and won't be running a marathon anytime soon, but are certainly getting around. So others that you would lift up. Well, I pray that school has started with gusto and excitement. My mom, who is a teacher in Casper, starts tomorrow, so she'll join that crowd soon. And I want to thank you for allowing some vacation time. Mac and I were able to go to New York City and experience the Big Apple and all its wonders. And we're also grateful to be home, so it's good. All right, well, seeing no others before us, let's go to God in prayer. Holy and gracious God, thank you for helping us know and learn and experience your Spirit in so many ways. God, in a moment of stillness, even if it's not quite quiet, we ask that you help us know again what it means to have a life-giving experience with you, to become fully rich and connected with your will. Holy One, there are ways in which your Spirit moves within us. You move within us in the places where we need healing and comfort. For those who have lost and are grieving, we ask that your Spirit be present with them. For those who are needing healing of body or soul or mind from injury or loneliness or addiction, we ask that your Spirit be present. For those of us who have great joys that we can't help but share, We offer our thanksgiving and praise for giving us those stories, and help us continue to share them with people who will find that similar joy. God, in the way in which your Spirit moves in our minds, allowing what we discover and learn to penetrate to our hearts and change us, we thank you. Thank you, O God, for your presence, your Holy Spirit. And as we study your word through the Bible scriptures, through song, through silence, and through stories of young voices, we ask that your presence be made fully known to our hearts and to our lives, so that we might share that with all that we encounter. We have this assurance that your Holy Spirit can do this because Jesus modeled that to us. just as he gave us words to share together. So let us pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we stand to sing this next song, it's called Dios Está Aquí. We will sing it in English, in Spanish, and English again. And this is a way in which we come to God, come to our spiritual growth in study by incorporating various languages. How many of you speak Spanish in any small or big capacity? Great. For those of you who don't, I really invite you today to not just gloss over or let those words just kind of happen if you're not a Spanish speaker, but instead either try to say them or listen to the ways in which the words connect with the melody and have a way of bringing out richness that you might not have known before. So let us stand as you're able to sing Dios Está Aquí. Seated. And as the ushers come forward, know that we give ourselves to God in all ways through our resources as well as our presence. So please make yourself known on the attendance pads and through our offering. Oh God, we give you praise for these gifts and these givers. May they be used in ways that glorify you and transform the world. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.
Please join me in the scriptural meditation. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. The first scripture lesson this morning is from Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and it's on page 923 in your pew Bible. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And from Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, page 955 in your pew Bible. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And from John chapter 8, verse 32 on page 870, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, choir. I'm very aware today, as school has started and we have our kids back and we have the ministry fair that is showing us all of the ways in which we can encounter God, that we learn in different ways. We learn at different volume levels, and we learn with different modes, right? Some of us are more kinesthetic. Some of us are more writing and all of those pieces. So I just want to offer us that grace today as we continue to worship together with all of the members of our church. When I was in ninth grade, I started keeping a daily journal. It was Cinco de Mayo, and that's how I remember it. It was a big day. And if you were to look back on the journal entries of the past, you would see daily logs. You know what happened? You'd also see some reflections about hard decisions that I had to make, prayers, and there would be questions about my future. So at some point, you might even read about a list of summer goals or books that I wanted to read. There are a few gushing Twitter patients about boys in my journals, as well as drawings with marker and colored pencil. These journals cover ordinary days as much as they cover travels to faraway places. And they also hold reflections and revelations that came to me at the moment I was writing. There was transcriptions of conversations that I had with someone that really was important to me, so important that I didn't want to forget it, so I wrote it down. Rereading entries in a journal can be very, very revealing and funny. Any of you keep a journal, even for a couple weeks, tried to keep a journal? Okay, good for you. Well, I find that you discover a lot in rereading your journal entries. I've seen a maturity since ninth grade, which is a good thing, right? But also newfound attitudes. Some of those attitudes come with getting older and being an adult. The attitude of worry sometimes comes up into my journal entries more often than not. Anticipation. There's attitudes of loneliness, but there's also attitudes of openness to what is. The funny moments come when the essence of the entry take on the flavor of the day's content. For instance, I am very aware when I read my journal entries when I've been studying Spanish or French, because all of a sudden, palabras will show up that I didn't mean to write. I meant to put words instead of palabras, but I interchange the words there and have Spanish and English. Sometimes I'll even start dreaming in the other languages, so I write that dream down in my journal because they're such wild experiences. It's kind of cool to be French for a moment. There are moments when I've traveled where I am so aware of the ability to see a world in a new perspective, and I start thinking esoterically. When you're at 3,000 feet above ground and you can look out that airplane window, the big questions seem worth wrestling with. And so I write in my journal about that. But most assuredly, the silliest entries have a pretentious tone to them because they come right after I've watched a Jane Austen movie. Without a doubt, no matter what the subject, even the most mundane thing at work, my words become flowery. They take on a cadence and a flavor of Elizabeth Bennet, and they're really silly to read. All of these things are a part of what I've discovered, and journal entries reveal the way in which I've set aside time and space for my head to kind of unpack. The drawings in my journal entry reveal a space and a heart that is settled enough to be okay not just listening to the jumbled thoughts of my mind. And the prayers that are recorded seem to illuminate gaps of what I know and what I don't know, what I can and can't do, and the recognition that wisdom beyond my own mind is crucial. As I reflect on journaling and reread entries, I see how what I take in to nourish my body, my soul, and especially my mind affect how I see, how I act, and what my further thoughts might be. Journaling, in part, captures the ways I have practiced study, both intentionally and unintentionally. This makes it clear to me that study as a spiritual practice has great implications upon our relationships and our perspectives of the meaning of life. The practice of study is not just for nerds, though I do resemble that remark. Instead, the practice of study can foster intimate concentration and reflection upon all the wisdom God the Creator has put before us and within us. In this way, we live into the purpose of spiritual practices, which is to transform us into people who have life-giving habits following the will of God. Apostle Paul believes that there is no better and influential way to this connection with God than study. He says in Romans 12, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Now, studying, the renewing of our minds, goes way back, way before the academy and the new and those black robes with the weird tassels on your head for graduation, right? It goes way before the printing press and even the telescope. Studying is that innate human function and desire that expresses one's ability to grow. I suspect our ancestors, even those with smaller brains than us, studied. They had to watch the patterns of animals so they would know how to hunt and get food. They would see the seasons of weather change and learn how to escape or control the elements. They even had pictures to tell stories. Biblically speaking, studying took on a vital and religious role of the Hebrew people. The Old Testament, especially in Deuteronomy, instructs people to write the law, that very thing that was supposed to shape and conform their thoughts and actions, to write the law on their doorposts, their gates, even write it down and hold it on their wrists so that it would be right in front of them. Any of you have rules on your doors or laws that you might hold as you go out into the world? Some of our kids have signs on their doors as a sort of a law. Do not enter, enter at your own risk, right? But these laws that Deuteronomy shares tells us that this is a start. This is a way in which we can focus our awareness and reflection on God and human relationships. Study as a spiritual practice doesn't just stop there with observation and consumption of knowledge. The gift of study comes when we're able to integrate perception of reality through observation and reflection. Thus, we learn a lot and weave the wisdom into our DNA. Now, I have to admit, there have been times when I've had a phrase like this, algebra 2. When will I ever use it? Anyone feel that way? Maybe not about algebra 2, but other subjects. Are there other subjects that you've encountered that just seem unnecessary, perhaps unredeemable? Anyone out there? Calculus. Accounting? Calculus, okay, yeah. Physics. Others out there? Sorry, I'm sort of hard of hearing. Say it again. Don't say French, okay? Biology, okay. Organic chemistry, I heard a couple times. Yeah. None of the above. You're all for it. I love it. Someone after the 9 o'clock service said, You don't have to know everything. You don't have to study everything. That's why we have each other, right? So some people can learn physics for you, Pat, and other people can learn algebra 2 for me. Among this crowd, I suspect those subjects like algebra 2 are important and part of your role. You know, algebra 2 gets us to that next level, to calculus, Ryan. That's where it gets us. Just as organic chemistry gets us to become a nurse, right? And statistics helps us, math helps us give tips to our waiters. But it does point out a fact that what we study matters. What we take in matters and will shape how we interact in the world. Some of them might feel unnecessary, but maybe not unredeemable. Paul talks about what is so important for the subject that we take in. He says, "Beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence and if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things." Now, I'm not going to say algebra 2 is unhonorable, but there are ways in which what we study matters. I went on a mission trip to Africa several years ago, and there's lots of traveling when you go that far away. I was with a family, and we were going around to various parts of Kenya, meeting with communities, helping in schools and building, doing building projects. And in the midst, I would be listening to music. It just so happened that the musical Book of Mormon had just come out. So that was on my iPod. Now, if you're not familiar with Book of Mormon, let me just say that it is funny, it is clever, and it is the most irreverent pieces of music that you can find. What I discovered is that as I was going out to meet people and working with this family of missionaries, the words, the earworms from that music were getting in my head and distracting me so much. They weren't necessarily the praiseworthy, honorable words of the gospel that I wanted to share. And so I reflected about how what I take in, even if unconsciously, affects, it matters. And then how we integrate and how we reflect on what we study has lasting results. A third grade teacher was grading a science test for her students, and she came across an intriguing answer. "Please list the three states of matter." The reply, "North Carolina, Virginia, and Kentucky." Now, many of us would know that the science teacher probably wanted to hear solid, liquid, and gas, right? As those three states of matter. And I bet those kids knew that at some point. They also know their states, but somehow those pieces weren't lining up. They weren't sinking in and sticking. But having those pieces come together, both the knowledge and the integration, is the way in which study becomes a spiritual practice. Richard Foster in Celebration of Discipline emphasizes two different modes of study, the verbal and the nonverbal. Now, the verbal seems fairly obvious. It comes through books, podcasts, the Bible, lectures, music, maybe TV programs or documentaries. I don't know about you, but I've got stacks of books that continue to grow and lists of things that I want to study that I can't quite get to. And sometimes it feels overwhelming. So I'm grateful for what Foster said, that the practice of study is not reading many books, but experiencing what we do read. It's not just about consuming, but tasting what we take in. The nonverbal study incorporates and seeks wisdom from careful observation of events and actions, especially in nature. The drawings in my journal seem to capture and provide a rumination on the landscape before me and where my soul and thoughts were at that time. This past week, Mac and I watched an early episode of The Crown about Queen Elizabeth II. And in this episode, a modernist artist had been commissioned to paint a portrait of Winston Churchill. This would be his gift from Parliament for his 80th birthday. Now, throughout the show, we come to understand how Mr. Sutherland, the artist, engages in his craft with careful study. And it's not just about lights and shadows and where the wrinkles fall, but instead he discovers and he incorporates all that's within his subject as well, including the frailty and the pain and the complexity. And before him, all of the subject's inner lights and shadows begin to permeate through. Well, Winston Churchill did not quite appreciate all that truthfulness that was born out in the painting, but he did value the way that intentional observation and study opened a window into knowing his deeper self. The careful observation of the natural world, human interactions, and even our own behaviors and responses has lasting implications to produce a spirit of compassion, empathy, connection to dignity across species and experiences of life. We will dive into the practice of study much deeper in the spring. There are ins and outs, multiple avenues of practice and things to consider, like what is the mind of Christ in comparison to the mind of humans? But still, being who you are, I believe you'll continue to observe. You'll continue to read a book or listen to music, to take on study. And so let me share a few how-tos to deepen that intentionality over the next coming months. I don't want you to feel stuck. I don't want you to feel like the student who came in from recess and said, I can't do math. Why not? It hurts to make a 9. Well, switch hands, and here we go. Richard Foster shares 4 steps to allow study to become a spiritual practice. The first step is repetition. Now, this might seem really obvious. How many times have you sang the ABCs to kids? I had mnemonics to remember the multiplication tables. 6 times 8 is 48. And other things like that, that we hold on to, little phrases that we repeat to remember the things that matter. But repetition also can take on the form of doing something over and over on a daily and a weekly practice. And so I would invite you to consider what it would look like to study for 10 minutes. For 10 minutes a day, study in some capacity. Maybe you're going to study Spanish vocabulary words. I know Jim and Joni Calhoun did an immersion in Mexico last year, and so they had to do some good study. Perhaps you want to take a chapter of the Bible or a couple verses, and for 10 minutes, you reread them. You let them sink in deeper and deeper and be present to you in those 10 minutes. Perhaps your study will be that of nonverbal study, and for 10 minutes, you go out and watch the birds, or you see how the stream and creek by your house rolls through. This step of repetition will move into concentration. This is to stay focused on one thing. I recognize in our world there's so many ways to be distracted. We have alerts going off, we have lights going forward, we have a full to-do list. But for 10 minutes, as you live into this work of study, put the phone away, grab your cup of coffee or your tea, and settle yourself. Read that book, or watch that program, or be in nature. I hope you heard that small word that I used, or. Read, or watch, or be in nature. Multitasking is not part of concentration, but instead that or, that focus, will help you move deeper and deeper into study and to the next step of comprehension. Comprehension focuses on the knowledge of the truth. It's where the aha moments come, those little sparks, those that bubble up, the little revelations that come. And I don't know about you, but whenever I have an aha moment, I don't say, well, that was nice, moving on. Right? When you have an aha moment, you write it down, or you start thinking, how is this incorporated with something else? Or you tell someone, I just had this big aha moment. That's the part of comprehension, this aha moment, and it propels us into growth and freedom. And finally, we're able to live into the final step of reflection. Comprehension defines what we study. Reflection defines the significance of what we study. So we can study a scripture passage, we can study the Bible and see it for its own self, but the reflection calls us to humility, calls us to be the student that sees the scripture anew, allows it to speak as the teacher, instead of us putting our interpretations on it. It allows those birds or that flowing water to say something new to us that we had not known. That humility of becoming a student gives us freedom and gives us that integration that we need of knowledge in our life. I suspect we're a fairly well-pedigreed bunch. We've got diplomas and plaques all over our walls, and that's good. But the practice, the spiritual practice of study, is not about accumulating. It's about experience. One of my favorite comedians is from Britain. His name is Michael McIntyre, and he reflects on our bookshelves. He says, we read a book and we put it on the bookshelf, and we never touch it again. And then we have people come over and say, look, I can read. He says, why don't we do that with our meals? Lean cuisine of 1984. That was a good year. See, I can eat. This is a very strange way in which we might consume something. But I'm going to invite us to live into a different way, not just check boxes and consume, but instead find freedom in this practice of study. When Jesus is talking to the disciples in John, he's telling them that this knowledge that you can integrate sets you free. I know and I understand a whole lot more than when I was in ninth grade. I mean, one would hope, right? But I certainly know a lot more about myself. And part of what I've discovered is that I have a new freedom to admit what I don't know, and to be excited about what I want to learn. This is the transforming work of spiritual practices, and I believe the spiritual practice of study frees us to encounter the mind of Christ, to encounter God's grace in a way that it moves from our mind into our heart, that we might be molded and changed. And the way in which we then share that information changes the world around us. As you live into your days and weeks with this new practice of study, I pray that you encounter God and that transformation for yourself. Amen. As you're able, I'll invite you to stand as we sing our final hymn.
Thank you.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, fellow nerds, as you go out into the world, may what you take in transform you. May it give you life. May it be honorable and praiseworthy. So what you share is praiseworthy as well. So what we offer is a reflection of who God is. May we channel our study so that God is seen through us. Go in God's peace and grace this day and evermore. Amen.